are glad that you're here. We hope you'll be comfortable as you visit with us, and that you'll plan and purpose to come back every opportunity that you have. It's good to see those that have been away, maybe in warmer areas, but back with us. Good to see Johnny. Appreciate him being here, and all those that have been sick and now able to be once again with us. We appreciate you being here. I encourage you to take your Bibles out. Follow along with me. Make sure that what I'm saying is what this book says. I'm not the standard. Religious truth will never be settled by what I think about it or what you think about it or what anyone else thinks about it. But it's settled by what God has said about it as revealed in the Bible. This morning I put the title of the lesson on the board, Who Will Be in Heaven? Now you may look at a title like that, or in hell rather, you may look at a title like that and you may say, well, that's pretty simple, just those that disobey God. Well, that's true. Those that are disobedient, those that do contrary to what God would have them to do, but we're going to be a little bit more specific about that question this morning. We're going to let the Bible answer the question of who will be in hell. Greg has to be out of town this evening, so I'm going to cover for him, Lord willing, and we'll make this a two-part lesson. It might be a little easier for you to get a handle on it and digest it. We'll split it up. So let's think about the question, who will be in hell? Have you thought about that? Given any attention to that in your studies? I want to begin, before we really get into the points, suggesting to you very firmly and simply that hell is a real place. There's a lot of folks that don't believe that hell is a literal, real place, but the Bible teaches otherwise, doesn't it? Even religious groups are in existence today who do not believe that hell is a real place, and yet claim that they are going by the Bible, claim that they are Christians, claim that Jesus is Lord of their life, but yet they do not believe in a place called hell, the way that the Bible presents it. But yet they believe in heaven, but not the passages concerning hell. But hell is a real place. In fact, it's described this way in the Bible. It's described as a lake of fire. Matthew chapter 18, verse 9. As outer darkness, Matthew 22, and in verse 13. As a place of torment, Luke chapter 16, and in verse 23. A place of eternal punishment, Matthew 25, verse 46. A place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9, verses 47 and 48. And a place of eternal destruction. Matthew 10, 28. That's what the Bible says about hell. A lot of other things that the Bible says about hell that you might want to add to that list. In spite of the fact that God wants all men to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2, 4, and to go to heaven, 2 Peter 3, 9, there are folks who are going to be lost. In spite of the fact that Jesus shed His blood, which was just read a moment ago from Matthew 26, folks are going to be lost. In spite of the fact that the Holy Spirit revealed the Word of God so that we can know what to do in order to be saved and to stay saved and to go to heaven in the after while, folks are going to be lost. So who just will be in hell? Let's think about that. First of all, I want to suggest to you that many religious folk will be in hell. In Matthew chapter 7, a place, a passage that is familiar with you, I know you've read it, you've thought about it. Notice what the Lord said. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, we could stop there and make a point about that. In the religious world today, folks will say, if you want to be saved and go to heaven, you need to call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, I invite you into my heart, of which the Bible says nothing about. And Jesus said here, do you have any difficulty understanding that phrase, what He just stated? Many will say to me in that day, or not unto me every, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, he's talking about the judgment day. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? How would you categorize that prophesying in the Lord's name? Well, that's a religious activity, you might say. I agree with you. Something done that was perhaps done in His name, according to them, but it really wasn't. Something of religious nature? Well, sure. Lord, Lord, when I prophesied in Thy name, that means by His authority, have we not cast out devils? And by Thy authority or in Thy name done many wonderful works? Were these religious people? They did a lot of religious things, didn't they? Notice 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some versions may say, ye that work lawlessness. They did it without His authority. Oh, they thought that they had His authority. They thought they were doing it in His name, with His approval. But it wasn't. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, begin with verse 1, Paul talks about Israel. He says, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul bears them record. He says, I bear them record, verse 2, that they have a zeal of God. You know what that word zeal means? Fervent in spirit. Ardor. A willingness to do, an excitement to do. Paul says, I wish that they were saved. In other words, they're not saved. Paul says, I wish that they were saved. And I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, an excitement, a willingness to do, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And so who will be in hell? A lot of religious people will be there. But as you think about this question, this very important, simple question of who will be in hell, I want to suggest to you that those who know not God and obey not the gospel. You could probably quote this passage. At least say where it's at. Seems we use it often. And that's okay. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Someone says, what about folks who don't know God? Well, let me give you a Bible answer for that question. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned this. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. I tell you plainly that Christ is coming back. Are you ready? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on... Brother Paul, tell me who the Lord is going to take vengeance on when He returns. Them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What will happen to them? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Christianity, being a Christian, is a religion of action. It's a religion of getting up and doing. James chapter 1 talks about that. In James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so God expects us to do. How are you doing along those lines? How am I doing? Did any self-examination lately? We all must do that every day. Examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, whether we're doing what God would have us to be doing. So who will be in hell? Those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, do you see the importance then of preaching what this book says? Book, chapter, verse for the things that we say. Not what I think about it, not how I feel about it, but by what this book says about it. Because we know that there are eternal ramifications for those who don't know it and don't obey it. And so we're busy about teaching it, right? Number 3. Who will be in hell? Those who are not in the church. Well, preacher, I was with you on point one and two, but now I'm not so sure about that. And the reason a lot of folks are not sure about that, because this religious world in which we live in abounds with folks who say, you can go to heaven without ever being in a church. Let me pause here without taking so much time and mentioning to you that if by a church you mean a denomination, I agree with you 100%. You can go to heaven without ever being in a denomination. But if you mean the Lord's church, of which you read about on the pages of the Bible, I wholeheartedly disagree. Because in order to go to heaven, you must be in the church you read about in the Bible. You see, you don't join the church. The Lord Himself adds you to the church when you obey the gospel. Isn't that what Acts chapter 2 verse 47 says? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to a church. No, you know better, don't you? The Lord added to the church. You see, daily, such as should be saved. Again, that's Acts 2:47. And so to say I can be a Christian and never be in the church is to say that I obeyed, but the Lord failed to do the adding. And we're not about to lay that at His footstep, are we? His doorstep. Let me give you another passage that just nails that down for you. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul, again, he's talking about the relationship of a husband and a wife, or he's talking about Christ and the church, and he uses the relationship of a husband and wife to get the point across to them. And notice what he says in verse 23. Got your eyes on the text? Listening to what I'm saying? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now watch him. And He is the Savior of the body. In Ephesians chapter 1, he identifies the body as the church, and that's identified as well in Colossians chapter 1, that Jesus is the head of the church, which is His body. The church and the body are the same. Now notice again in this passage of Ephesians 5:23, He is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Whose is the Savior of? Those in the body or those out of the body? In the body, right? Well, if the body is the church and He's the Savior of the body, which is the church, can I be saved out of the church? Shake or not? The answer to that is I can't be saved outside of the body. If He's the Savior of the body, I must be in the church, the one body of the New Testament. But not only that. When you think about this very simple but important question, who will be in hell, I want to suggest to you that those who satisfy the lust of the flesh, those who satisfy the lust of the flesh, that give in to the passion and the desire of what this body would do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll not read the entire text of this, but you can write it down in whatever book it is, write down things in and read it at your own convenience. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, he points out, beginning, know you not, or don't you know? We just had a sermon on that last week, all these know you not statements of Paul. Here's one of them. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither, and then he goes through a list, fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, and drunkards, so forth. And he concludes that thought, that sentence in verse 10 by saying, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So I ask you a question. In heaven for all eternity, will fornicators be there? Will idolaters be there? Will effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind be there? No. Can they be there if they turn from those things? Absolutely. Verse 11 goes on to talk about that. But folks, if I practice these things and not turn from them and die in that condition, heaven will not be my home. Well, if I don't make it to heaven, where am I going? There ain't but two places. If heaven's not my home, you guessed it, hell will be for all eternity. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, as Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, he lists several things in that passage that would be considered deeds or works of the flesh. And he says they're manifest. That means that they're open. They're made known. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. There's a lot that can be under that word lasciviousness. If you've been watching listening to the program on Galatians, we just spent some time talking about each of these. We're not through the list, so not too late for you to tune in and listen to that, or pick up a CD or DVD in the back. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and watch this, and such like. Things like that. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, who will be in hell? Read the list. And there's others that we've been talking about. One more point. Who will be in hell? Those who are not written in the book of life. The Bible talks about a book of life. Did you know that? I know many of you are aware of that. In Exodus chapter 32, people of Israel had sinned. And notice what Moses says concerning that. Begin with verse 31 of Exodus 32. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "All this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin," he's pleading that God would forgive them. Now watch him. "And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." You suppose the Lord said, "Well, Moses, I hear you. I'll go ahead and let them off the hook and you can give an account for what they did." Keep reading. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." You see personal responsibility in a passage like that? You do, don't you? Every man will stand on his own two feet come the judgment, so to speak. You'll give an account. I'll give an account of the things that I've done. Sometimes we sing a great hymn. "Is my name written there on the pages, bright and fair?" But not only in the book of Exodus, come to the final book of your New Testament, the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 and then verse 5. "He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, it's not the subject of this point or this lesson, but I just want to throw this in for you so you can use it if you need it in the future. How on earth would a name be blotted out if the name wasn't put there to begin with? That deals a death blow to once saved, always saved. Think of that. Can your name be inscribed in the book of life? I ask you a question. Can it be blotted out of the book of life? Read those passages and answer the question. Over in the book of Still in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life." What if I'm not found written in that book? Drop down your eyes to verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That answers the question on the board, who will be in heaven? Those who are not written in the book of life. In chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from where? Out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So I ask you very friendly and kindly and firmly and seriously, who will be in hell? Have you considered your condition before the Lord this morning? Are you a Christian, a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you considered your eternal company should you be lost? We've talked about it this morning. You want to go to that place or avoid such a place? I want to avoid it. Don't you? There's only one way to become a Christian. It's not what I think about it. I told you that at the beginning of the service. It's not what some man down the road thinks about it. It's what God said about it as revealed in the Bible how to become a Christian. It's His family. He's already legislated who's going to be in His family or who's to be. And that is those who have obeyed the gospel. How do you do that? By hearing it, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24, repenting, turning from your wrongdoing to do that which is right, Luke 13:3-5, confessing your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God, Romans 10:10, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:37. The water's ready. There's garments in the back that you can change into, be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then dry off, put your dry clothes back on. Hardly any inconvenience to you at all. Are you willing to do that? The brethren here are baptizing into Christ if you are. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen from the right ways of the Lord. Turned your back on the Lord. You're not faithful as you should. You want to be restored. Like the prodigal son of the New Testament who went into a far country and there with riotous living, wasted his substance, but he came to himself and said, I'll go back home. I'll return unto my Father. Maybe that describes you and you're ready to come home to a merciful, compassionate Father, willing to forgive if you'll only turn from your wrongdoing and come back home. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.